Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Chapter 19. The trees are falling away and showing their true colours. Charmaine J. Ford. Layla slipped under quickly, quietly, as though there were no transition at all. The sounds and sights of the world dissolved, and her awareness was thrust into the web of the energies that made her. She could still feel her outer body, could still feel the sensation of her whole body being inside herself as a tickling prickle of motion, as though she were a Matryoshka doll, and each inner sensation ricocheted off the outer and back again, throwing her balance. Mirrors in mirrors. And then that's all there was. Mirrors in mirrors in mirrors, and she was an image shuttered back and forth, repeated, miniaturized, distorted, with kaleidoscopic intensity. She stumbled backwards, trying to escape the infinite reflections. They were all around, above, below, and new facets were emerging, mirrors turned fractal, new Russian dolls splintering outward in prismatic horror until Layla cowered in the midst of her concentric madness. She shut her eyes and tried to calm her breath. She could feel her heart beating in her chest, her heart beating all around, somewhere above her, around her, in her body, in the body that sat against the rock watched over by Jacob. And yourself, you will need to know who you are. I'm Layla. I'm Layla. You are not your name. It's deeper than that. Layla pressed her knees against her forearms. Am I this? Am I flesh? But as she said it, she knew that wasn't it. She forced herself to open her eyes. The growth of mirrors slowed. Towers of Layla's and questions retracted back until there was only one mirror in front of her. The paint melted and left her reflection hers, skin and eye human, unadulterated. And if this face were gone, what then? Would you still be you? Yes, she said aloud. Yes, I would. Deeper. Go deeper. As Layla peered into the mirror, she realised that the answers weren't in its cool reflections, but inside her, somewhere amongst her mind and actions. This is me, she thought, and this is not. The final mirror melted away, leaving an empty calm. She could see herself, clearly, sense herself. Everything was sharp, vivid, pure. But there was something. A niggling shadow creeping around the edges, a speck of dust in the corner of her eye, vanishing from vision every time she tried to turn to look. The witch. It scuttled in the periphery. Layla got to her feet and rallied her courage. A blink of darkness slinked past, a deliberate slowness to its pace, as though it wanted her to follow. And, even knowing it would be a trap, she did. Shards of jagged mirrors leapt up, showing Layla the fear on her own face. Yes, child. Would you still be you if we sliced off your face? Chopped you limb from limb? The witch's voice was louder now that she was in her head, in the space that they both occupied. Now that Layla was aware of what was her and what was not, she swallowed the fear and summoned all the authority she could. I'm not afraid of you. I need you out of me. You don't get to use my magic anymore. Fractured fragments of laughter sliced around the mirror edges, followed by a darkness that left trails of shapes and glittering malice. Layla hounded it, never letting it escape her vision until the fading trails caught up with their owner, and Layla stood face to face with the witch. At least, it was a dark, malignant force, twisting, its form ever shifting, changing, building up and breaking down to make a new figure, but the same wicked entity driving its movement. I need you gone, she said. Cruel lips wrangled the rictus. You have less manners than your mother, and no less temper, I see. Do you know who you are? The witch said, her face temporarily sharpening into solid skin, stretched over cheekbones. She almost looked human, Layla thought. Who you were when we walked this land centuries ago? She drew nearer, and Layla felt her legs tremble. Are you one of the ones who stuck me in that tree? Who cut out my tongue? Drained me of life? Or before that, are you one of those who cast me out? Left me to die? The witch's words pounded through Layla's head. She tried to summon her strength. I don't know, she cried. The witch stepped forward, bones like knives and eyes like daggers, and a face of shredded skin and rivulets of blood. How easily you forget your own violence and condemn me for mine. I am merely repaying the elders for what you did to me. What am I supposed to have done? You killed my friend and Jacob's dad and... Layla stood her ground, but she could not say the words. The witch withdrew a pace. And I killed your mother, she said softly, with no hint of cruelty. The knives retreated and the head bowed, almost sorrowfully. Child's eyes peered out from the shifting shadows. I am sorry, Layla, but the elders must pay, and they have left me no choice. How else can I gain enough energy to return? Just as you have your duty, I have mine. I hope soon you remember. The witch's form began to melt, returning to the shapeless mist. Remember what? What am I supposed to know? I can't let you carry on, Layla whispered. The mist glittered a placid smile and then began to dissipate, a cloud of glinting motes sweeping away from Layla. The mirrors were gone, the corners liquefied, any sense of bearing evaporated, and Layla felt the inner landscape start to crumble. Layla gritted her teeth. I won't. So be it, the witch growled. Layla followed the whirlings of light and glittering wisps in a haze of a crimson sea, solid yet undulant. She half swam, half stretched and glided, the witch always just beyond her fingertips, not knowing what she'd do if she managed to catch up. Lorna had said that magic during a severing was a fickle thing, unpredictable. Would it drown her? Could she die here, inside herself? Would her body be taken over by the witch and Layla be left in this ever-shifting landscape? She came to where the witch had woven her dark magic. She knew it was the core of the attachment, even before her eyes could fully take it in. Its blackness was unlike any other she had seen. It seemed to radiate and exhale decay. It was the absence of light. It stretched from where it latched onto Layla's heart like one long, thick vein into distant nothingness. She waded closer. Suddenly, the red seemed to darken and suffocate, closing its walls over her. She felt lightheaded. Something was weighing her down, making her heavy, threatening to drag her beneath the surface of herself. Breath came in ragged drags. The air seemed to scratch and catch at her lungs and throat. Somewhere outside and above her, she felt her heart expand and hang in freefall. It dropped a beat. With bolting intensity, it burst back into life. Wild things leapt at her. Flitting shadows danced and snatched. Visions spun. Her hands slipped. Layla saw flashes of teeth like rows of razor blades, snicking and slashing, clattering closer, hissing their hungry metal mouths into her ear. She fought up and raked her nails through the dark that was consuming her and howled yowls of pain and savage grit into their faceless mouths. She flung herself onto the tethering cord and began to tear and rend and slash. She gouged and dug, scratching at layers, tissue-like with her fingernails until strands of shredded bloody crepe hung like disintegrated cobwebs from the frayed cord. It dawned late that her flesh was burning, the witch's link preserving itself. Those strands, ripped from their mesh, now wound around her wrists and neck, blistering her skin, choking her. Red smudges of mass and magic began to tumble down. Black whippings bit at their forms, dissolving the soft fibrous tissues with their acidic, flicking tongues. Layla felt her hands as they began to decompose. Fingers no longer responded. They twitched and jerked as nerves and tendons snapped and fried until only bone remained. Sharp and white and gleaming. Useless. She tried to summon a shield but found her magic unresponsive. That was when the blows hit. They pelted from all sides like an unseen torrent of hailstones. Her skull cracked and fractured. Her ribs snapped. The blistering choke around her neck sluiced through another layer of skin. Claws reached out from the dark and slashed. The world had turned to tar and was filling her eyes and mouth and nose with its foul stench. Layla sank into her darkness, feeling the inevitability of death. She was blind, tumbling through an abyss of nothing but despair. She felt the core of her erode and knew how easy it would be to slip into the void of defeat. Then, as the last shard of her heart looked to be consumed, instinct fired and kindled resolve. She remembered her aunt's advice. "She will come for you, but only when you're close." Layla clawed her way back from the depths and braced herself. She found the cord, now hardly more than a thumb width. She bit. One by one, the wiry sinews rent and shriveled as she gnawed. Electric charges flickered up and down its length, sparking and hissing. The acid burnt her mouth. Still, she pinned it between her teeth, scraping them back and forth through its layers of black tissue. As she ground her teeth, she pictured in her mind the severing of the connection, her energy complete and whole and contained. It tore. She felt its severed end flailing in the inside of her mouth against her cheek, choking her. As muscle and tendon dissolved, Layla coiled the cord around her wrists and wrenched it out, feeling its electric tail as it flicked off into the darkness. And then the red and black world disappeared. When she came to, coarse hands were shaking her shoulders. A voice was grating in the air and vomit was jerking from her mouth. Her eyes made a long, shaking journey up from the sick-covered grass. "Oh my God, Layla!" Layla looked up at her father's face, ragged and pinched. "Bloody hell, what were you thinking?" His voice was ratchet-strap rough. He hauled her up by the collar of her shirt and began dragging her back to the road. She thought she could hear another voice, a woman's. Layla reached up to her mouth, fingertips meeting smooth skin and a trail of bile. Her hands were whole. She examined their flesh, the crisscross of lines on her palms, her fingers eager to bend and flex and grip. "Dad," she began. He stopped, released her collar.
"I mean, what the hell did you think you were doing?"
"Dad, I..." He rounded on her, pulled her up to his face, her feet dangling above the ground.
"You're an idiot, a bloody idiot. And as for your mother, well, she..."
His eyes glazed over. They landed about a foot away from Layla, somewhere in the air, and stayed there, unblinking. He looked drunk. Bells were chiming.
"Dad,"
Layla whispered. "Oh no." Spittle was dripping from his lower lip, his upper snarled.
"Dad! Dad!"
she yelled, but no response. She kicked her legs and struggled to free herself. The fabric around her neck was making it hard to breathe.
"Dad!"
He was motionless. Where the fuck was Jacob? The statue of her father gripped her with unfeeling fingers. She pried them from her shirt and fell to the ground. His figure loomed above like a sick marble monument of violence. Layla stood, her head barely at the height of his still outstretched arms. She pushed at his face, trying to get it to turn to her, to change, anything, but he remained frozen. Layla looked around, hysterical. They were alone. She began to run, tripping over her feet, unable to focus on the world in front of her. Her eyes fixed on the spire and her feet followed. She hammered her fist into the closest door and screamed for help. The vicar took Layla inside. He left her with his wife, who ushered her onto the sofa with cooed words, while he went to investigate. By the time he found Elliot, he had moved. He now lay, cradling his head on the grey tarmac of the road in the clear daylight of morning. He stared at the vicar with mournful eyes.
"What's real?"
he asked on a softly uttered loop. The vicar placed a threadbare blanket over his folded form and tentatively whispered words of reassurance. he turned to stare at his beloved church, until now only a symbol and an income, and wondered for the first time if there was a God, or if prayers weren't just cold, unanswered beggings, destined to be scattered to the wind. The ambulance arrived under a blanket of silence, lumbering through the village like a voiceless beast. The vicar's wife called out, pleading, but Layla watched, transfixed, from the window as they gently ushered Elliot in through its gaping doors and onto the gurney inside. Layla felt numb. She picked up the house phone and shut herself in the downstairs bathroom, clutching the handset in fingers she could hardly feel, the ringlets of its long cord stretched taut under the door. She tried to focus on the shrill of the ringing, but instead sounds and images of her dad's anger bled into her eyes and ears, his hands hauling her up, the fabric nearly choking her. Gradually, the voice on the other end came through.
I said, who is this?
Mattie.
She barely had the breath to speak.
I need you to come get me.
Layla didn't trust herself to create a doorway. She could barely make a phone call. And so after she'd told Mattie where she was, she phoned Lorna.
Jacob was with me. I'm not sure what happened to him.
I'll find him.
She'd meet Layla at the cottage, she said. Some minutes later, Layla was staring at crustless sandwiches in the living room when the doorbell rang. The room sighed relief, and as the vicar opened the door, the palpable tension wavered and spilt out onto the doorstep.
She's had quite a shock,
the vicar said, his head cocked to one side. Mattie barged past.
I haven't got all day, she retorted. Come on.
The vicar nodded and mumbled, and his wife's eyebrows rose and knitted, but before either of them could speak, Mattie had thanked them both for their kindness and bundled Layla up and out of the door and down the street. As they walked, all Layla could see was the swaying grey of the pavement. At each step, images of her dad and the witch rose up and threatened to blot out the rest of the world. Mattie's voice and the grip from her arthritic fingers kept Layla from disintegrating entirely.
You don't have to say anything now, she said. But when you're ready, you can tell me what happened.
The door to Layla's kitchen was open. Mattie and Layla hesitated in the doorway.
Lorna?
There was a loud clang as something was dropped in a hurry, and then Layla was enveloped in an embrace filled with both relief and fear.
Where's my dad?
He's in quite a way. His mind isn't sure what's real right now. But he'll be fine. The doctors will discharge him soon, and then we can take a proper look at him.
And Jacob?
Jacob was not fine. His eyes were red and raw, and a seeping gash ran the length of his cheek. The cuticles on both of his hands were lined with dirt, and the usual dirt grained white under each fingernail was the rusted colour of dried blood. There was no smirk on his face, and his eyes were devoid of emotion as he spoke. He turned to Layla as she walked in.
I'm sorry,
he whispered.
Jacob, what happened?
My God. Mattie whispered, a hand fluttering to her mouth. She cleared her throat and rearranged her face back to its regular, impassive state. But something behind her eye could not be quelled, and a nerve quivered the lid intermittently. Jacob shrugged off Layla's attempt to put her arms around him, and while he turned to look at her, his eyes slid to the floor.
She was there, he intoned. The witch. I tried to pull you out of there, but I couldn't. You wouldn't move. There was a cloud, a mist. It hung over everything. It was thick, with these bits of floating silver.
He frowned, rubbing the torn side of his face, puckering the skin.
It sort of hummed. It turned into this shape, into her, and it started lashing at you, pummeling. I didn't know what to do. The buzzing, it was loud. I tried to punch it, kick it, I don't know, just anything to get it off you. And it started to come for me, and I'm so sorry, Lay.
He began to heave huge sobbing tears.
I ran. I kept running. I don't know what happened after that. I was stumbling through the woods and I ran into something hard. And then I knew it. It had the same eyes as her. It was the tree, Lay. Her tree. It felt like it was staring at me.
He stopped,
touching his finger to the lump of ripped flesh on his face. She made me. I thought I had something in my face. I started scratching and scratching, and then...
His face gave way to brackish tears.
I don't remember. I'm sorry, Leigh. I'm so sorry. I was so scared.
Lorna walked over to them and put her hand on his arm.
It's all right, she told him, gently easing his hand away.
She turned to Layla.
I found him by the tree. It's not clear if the witch survived past the severing. It's very likely she didn't. Perhaps what she did to Jacob was her final stand.
Layla looked to the wreck of Jacob and his nail-trenched face. Her jaw clenched.
How could we know for sure?
Lorna placed her tea deliberately on the mat, lining up the handle with the corner with careful precision.
We go to the tree.
End of chapter 19. Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is available on Kindle via Amazon or as a downloadable PDF via my website. The links for both of these are in the description of this podcast. You can follow me on social media at @twisted_roots_agparker or @a_g_parker on Instagram. Please head to my website for other details and to keep updated with my poetry, performances, fiction, articles, and more. I hope you enjoyed listening to this latest chapter of Twisted Roots and that you tune in next time.